this get ugly. Oh no, I love the streets. Oh no, I love the streets. Oh no, I love the streets. This getting ugly. Tell me why they on with me. Tell me why they on with me. Oh no, why they with me.
Yeah. Man, I gotta come in here and say some things. I gotta take a couple things back. But what's up? It's your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your nephew, your friend, but I can't be your son. It's your kinfolk. William Jewell. Giving you my detail as I articulate. This is articulating. Rap. How y'all doing? If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button down below and turn all the notifications on so you can get all the new content, all the new posts when I make them. I just came here to articulate this thing we call hip-hop from a telescopic and microscopic lens, far away and up close, giving you the details in real lifetime from the thoughts of your kinfolk, William Jewell, whatever you want to call it. I'm okay with either name, but as you can see, I started off singing at Dirk. As you hear, I started off singing at Dirk, man, because that Dirk, I got to do a callback to that review. I really got to do a callback to that review. But I don't want to start there because I started with the Dirk review on my last episode. I want to start with a theme, a constant theme that's always been in the headlines since last year, you know what I'm saying, around the time I started this show, and that is Drake, and it's the Drake lawsuit, right? Because people, they act like they tired of hearing about Drake, or they're tired of hearing about the battle, they're tired of hearing about Kendrick Lamar, but at the same token, this is the news. And these guys are putting themselves on the news. They're putting themselves on the headlines. They're trying to control the narrative. And to be honest, Drake getting away with a lot of shit right now. Right? You know, I don't be trying to use a whole bunch of profanity. I don't have the curse to do all that to get my point across. I don't have to do all that. But I say Drake getting away with a lot of stuff because he's filing lawsuits over a diss battle, and he's still given the privilege to make music and to maneuver in this culture like he's done nothing wrong, when clearly he participated in this battle. I mean, it's kind of things that you kind of got to look at and call out. So at the end of the day, Drake being able to do that, that lets you know what type of advantage that he has. That lets you know how people see him in the lens they see him. And that lets you know, like, where hip-hop is when it comes to morality, right? Or when it just comes to, you know, policing our own culture. And so, you know, with that being said, the dude is trying to get these contracts. He's trying to get Kendrick Lamar's contracts. He's trying to get Dave Freeze's contract. He's trying to get the CEO of Interscope's contracts and look at his bonus. And he wants all of those documents to be revealed so he can tell if Not Like Us was defamatory. Like, this is a defamation lawsuit. I get it that you want to know if people were incentivized to defame you or incentivized to push a song, right? Like Not Like Us. But I think this is starting to get out of the actual wheelhouse of what we call defamatory. Like to see what a man's contract is, and a lot of people in the record business are saying like nobody's contracts is the exact same. An executive could be getting paid hundreds of thousand dollars more than the same exact executive doing the same job, but sometimes the name carries a payload. Right? So, I mean, that's my issue. right? Because I got to bring some energy to this because, I mean, if y'all tired of talking about it, I'm tired of talking about it too. But why is we letting this man run scot-free with no accountability, right? And I feel like that's what Kendrick was speaking about all along, and that's what I've seen about Drake all along. It's different rules apply to him. Same thing, you know, when we talk about LeBron James on the basketball court, it's different rules that apply, right? So he's given an advantage. He's given that common courtesy from the fans. This is definitely, to me, this is unfair, right? It's unfair. But in my notes, you know, the judge, from what I understand, he's requesting these contracts, right? So let me do my journalistic due diligence, right? I'm learning a little bit and I'm trying to do a little bit more research and studying. But basically, they're saying that the judge actually has to approve of each request. Just because they requested it on their own filings, that doesn't mean that they get to see those documents. The judge has to actually approve on those documents in a case-by-case basis. So UMG filed to dismiss the stay discovery. And the stay discovery is what the lawyers from Drake's team are asking or requesting for UMG to reveal. Now, a judge has ruled to not dismiss that stay discovery, but there is option for the case to be dismissed and not go to trial as well. And just like we looked at Spotify, just like we looked at iHeartMedia when they was able to give over these documents and show Drake there was no foul play behind the scenes, you know, then the petition got dismissed. Same thing with Spotify. And based on that, Drake also has to drop the streaming bot accusations when it comes to this court case as well. So it's not even about bots anymore. It's simply about where these people incentivize to make easy work of Drake so that his career could be damaged from this. And, you know, I just think this is kind of just like a spoiled brat, you know, not getting their way and doing everything they can to try to get their way. And the reason why I wanted to lead off on that story is because there's more contradictions, there's more hypocrisy in how Drake is moving. That's why I said every time I try to feel sorry for Drake, he does something or something comes up where it makes me feel less sorry for him. Right. And I'm talking about the Nokia video shoot. Right. And we know that looking at this video, people saying, well, you could decide to look at it from this perspective or you could decide to look at it from that perspective, whatever perspective you want to look at it. But how can you look at it without ignoring the facts? Or how can you look at it and ignore the facts that this is definitely a copycat job of Kendrick Lamar's performances? How can you not see that that's what this video is? And I wouldn't even say it's a parody because it doesn't seem like a spoof. I feel like, in all honesty, I like the video. I like the video. Because the creativity is there, the lens, the way you would see this video and the way that you hear this song, just the abstract energy is present in this video. And I feel like I gotta give credit to Kendrick Lamar. Like, even if Drake is copying him, I think Kendrick Lamar did Drake a service by giving him something to try to copy, spoof, or parody, right? Because this is going to bring more attention to the video. First of all, this was a good idea from Drake, but it doesn't change the fact that this is very hypocritical and contradictory of what you're suing the UMG for. So it definitely doesn't make any sense. But as far as the numbers and the charts of Nokia, this is going to bring people to this video. This is going to make people want to listen to this song because the song is good, right? I said last week the song isn't good, but looking at the video, I feel like the video made the song better, right? It made it a little bit more enjoyable. And I like to say that Drake ain't going nowhere. I think a lot of people said Drake is in a casket or he's dead, he's in a pine box. Like, I think they was more so speaking on the Drake at his peak, at his pinnacle. That Drake is no more, but Drake with the ability to make music and continue to press on, he's still present. And he has a strong fan base. He did not lose his fan base. His fan base was behind him the whole time. Then you got Kendrick Lamar's fan base, and then you got everybody in between. So as long as he can convince those in-betweeners to jump on the bandwagon for a period of time, he's gonna be okay. No one said he was going to die. No one said it was going to be over. No one said you could stick a fork in him. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Drake is, he's missing a chink from his armor. But I feel like him copying this video of Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us, some of the Super Bowl performance, maybe even a little bit of Squabble Up, some of the choreography, just this is a way that we never seen Drake before. So this is a more creative, you know, perspective. And even though Drake might have been doing this to be petty, I think doing this, although we know he's copying, I think the creative approach was definitely a good one. People say that, oh, this is supposed to be colorful, this is dancing, this is supposed to be bright and jubilaic, this is supposed to be so many neons, so many 80s and 90s flavor theme type of. No. Because a lot of music videos go against the grain of what the song is about. That's the artistry. That's the creativity. It's easy to put a music video together about a song, right? That's talking about a certain thing, because now all you got to do is follow the story of the song. But if you get outside of the song, you get outside that box and show people the different parameters outside their diameter, then it causes them to think a little bit more. And when we thought a little bit more, we saw a little bit more, and we saw a little bit more. We saw Kendrick Lamar's reflection in the Nokia video. Although I still feel like this was very contradictory. This is very hypocritical of Drake, because he's crying and screaming, defaming, right? But he's continuing to play into the antics. He's continuing to play into the battle. So you could see that he doesn't want this battle to end. You could see that he's continuing to egg on this battle. So why are you suing for the defamation? Right? It doesn't make any sense. And some people think that UMG don't want to show these people the contracts, because now every artist is going to be asking to see everyone else's contracts. So the best thing to do for them to do is settle. But at the same time, the judge has to grant those requests for them to see certain contracts. And so how does this end? Right? I don't know how this ends court-wise. I mean, I feel like I could see this ending amicably. Like, I could see it ending, like, maybe not on a good note, but where each side gets what they want. Whether it's a settlement or whether Drake is satisfied with how things went, with his findings, and he feels like there's nothing to really do to prove his point any further. So I think it's going to be resolved. We just don't know how. but I think it's going to be amicable. I don't think, you know, UMG is going to take a direct kick from this lawsuit. And at this point, like, Drake is defying the odds. That's one thing you can't deny about Drake. He's so tenacious. He's so persistent. Even with his pettiness, he won't die. He's like a roach when it's radioactive time, right? Right? He keeps crawling back up. You stepped on him, but he keeps on moving, right? You hit him with a fly swatter, but he keeps on moving. You hit him with your good grandpa sandal, but the roach keeps on crawling until he finally reaches in the crevice and you can't even reach none of your your weapons into that crevice. And while he's in that crevice, he's just rejuvenating and making himself a little bit stronger. He's revitalizing his health, so when he crawls back out, he can move with speed and terrorize your house along with the other pests that you let inside. But Dirk, we got to talk about Dirk, because I was very premature with my judgment from the album. I said it wasn't enough pain, and I did feel the pain. Pause. And I do believe I was wrong when saying that the fact he wasn't present and he was in prison isn't the reason why I didn't like this song. I think that's the reason why I couldn't connect with it right away, because with every release, he's been out and about. He's, you know, he's been outside. And this release, he wasn't outside. And I think that kind of took me aback, right? It made me, you know, feel a little bit differently about this album. But to me, I can't stop listening to this album now. And I definitely put it above Almost Healed, right? I definitely put it above Almost Healed. And some of the singles that I was saying, like, it sounded like I heard these songs before. The album didn't sound fresh to me. Well, just like listening to it over and over again, like, the singles fit where they supposed to fit. And those singles were actually good choices, especially Turn Up a Notch. I really just love that song. But it hurt you the worst when your brother don't turn you up. My savages. It hurt you the worst when your brother don't turn you up. So, I mean, really, I'm just coming back in to clarify some of my statements with that Dirk album. I love the Dirk album, right? I gave it a 6.5. Now, let's give it a 7.5. And I put it above Wham. Like, I can't put it above I Am Music. Because I feel like Cardi just really just gave us something that was a little bit more different, you know, and Dirk kind of gave us something similar that he's been giving us, a little bit more polished, a little bit more well-rounded. But I come back in here to number off my albums of the year. Peterson, number one, Life is Beautiful, number two, and then I'm going to go I Am Music, Cardi 3, Dirk 4, Deep Thoughts, and then I'll go Wham 5. So far, that's where I have my albums of the year right now. I see that Kings of the South Volume 2 are out. You know, we just talked about Slim Thug and Propane. This is Zero and Lil Flip. You know, two legends from the South, two legends from Houston, Texas. I just went to the Zero concert last night, and I felt like I had a out-of-body experience. I felt like I had a revival, felt like I really needed that pain to be released, you know, and just seeing Zero on stage, being closer, just in an intimate setting, like, because it wasn't a big area, it wasn't a big space, and we was close enough to where we could just really feel the energy from the stage and just sing along with some of our greatest, you know, Zero songs, our favorite hits from him. A lot of people don't know him. He's an underground artist in Texas. But if you know Zero, if you love Zero, you know he's one of the first persons that started with this pain music. And that's a reason I love Mo 3. There's a reason I love Lil Durk. You know, there's a reason I love that section of hip hop, you know, that emo, right? That pain, because I grew up on an emotional rapper, Zero. And he continues to, you know, break barriers and, you know, just continue to make music. And not only does it consistently, but he does it well. And he doesn't let anybody define his sound. He stays in his lane. He don't have to be the biggest. He don't have to be the brightest star, but he shines all the same. So salute to Zero. And I think he's doing a favor to Lil Flip. You know, as far as people knowing Lil Flip more than Zero, I think they both mutually benefit from this. But I feel like musically, this will benefit Lil Flip more. Same thing with, you know, Propane and Slim Thug. Slim Thug giving Propane his platform because he's a little bit more well-known. I think Propane benefits from it, but Slim Thug will benefit mutually, musically, because Propane is the better lyricist, and Propane will be able to take that musical quality up a little bit more notch because of the substance that he brings. And Whitney Springs, right? We're not going to get that anymore. So, and I say anymore, but it's not going to be released in July the 4th, 2025, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, Whitney Springs is supposed to be the movie with Kendrick Lamar and the creators of South Park. It was scheduled to release on July 4th of 2025, but now that the GNX tour is taking place, they haven't even really started film yet, so a lot of things are going to be set back. So they're pushing it to March of 2026. So we are going to be on the lookout for that. And I'm sure Kendrick definitely has some more in store for us if he's making the decision to push the movie back. So I can't wait to see and hear that and just get a little bit more information, because we was told some things, but nobody knows anything. And so I just want to see a teaser, kind of see and fill it out for what it can be or what it could be going forward. But the GNX tour, me and the missus, we got tickets April 26th, Dallas, Texas, and the AT&T stadium. You know, I heard 20 of 23 stadiums are sold out. 90% of the tickets are sold out. They're adding DJ Mustard to the mix. There were also a rumor that Dolce might be joining in on this concert as well. So, I mean, this is going to be a big thing, right? If you know anything about Kendrick Lamar and his performances, we know this is a big thing. And just people love the Super Bowl performance, but I believe it's going to be a little bit more intricate on stage for this GNX tour. And I can't wait for Amazon to produce a show so we can look at the show. I just can't wait to see it with my own eyes. But you know, when you see it from a production standpoint, you get to see some of the things that you might miss during the actual show, because you jamming, right? You just singing along with them and just into it, into the moment. So I want to see a little bit of both from both angles, and I'm sure that Kendrick will do that. I'm excited to see SZA as well. I love SZA. I love the records that she's done with the SOS. I mean, although I didn't love the original SOS, I did love the Deluxe. And I just like what she's doing musically regardless. Like, she's one of those R&B acts that's transcended that one genre. And, you know, she's just relatable. Although she's awkward, she's appealing. And although she's appealing, she is brilliant mentally. And, you know, and I think TDE has kind of helped cultivate that for her. And salute to TDE, right? Because another one of TDE, a lot of people talk about Dolce, but people don't speak on Ray Vaughn like they need to speak about Ray Vaughn. Dollar Menu, right? Ray Vaughn is one of those ones. He's one of those up-and-coming guys that we kind of got to give credit to. We kind of got to lend a little bit credence to. We got to pay attention to what Ray Vaughn is doing, because Ray Vaughn is a great up-and-coming rising star. And we need to put some more attention to him. We need to put some more dollars into him. We just need to get some more eyes on him, because if he's given that... leadway, if he's giving that respect, or just those ears that he needs for everybody to tune in and hear what he has to say, and able to take on the challenges of creating and crafting something special just because of the singles he's put out. Like, these are album quality singles, so it's interesting to see or hear how he will put those singles together on an album or a mixtape. Like, Ray Vaughn is somebody that's really got my attention right now, and the energy behind Ray Vaughn, I feel like this is something that's going to carry on for this generation. Because we got the rappers that y'all always say, y'all don't like these rappers. We got the mainstream rappers. We got the Playboy Cardis. We got the Babies. We got the Gunners. We got the Dirks, right? We got the Trap Boys. We got the Young Boys, right? We got the YNs. But Ray Vaughn is no typical YN. He's not a young nigga. He's a young Negro, right? So I feel like Ray Vaughn is definitely going to give us something of substance, something colorful, something to challenge us mentally, and just something to where we can view him as someone on the rise. And, salute to TDE as well, because the Sir Deluxe, the light, like the Sir Deluxe, I enjoyed the Sir Deluxe. I enjoyed Heavy, right? And then he got the light. So, THE light. So, I mean, TDE is really doing a thing. I feel like they took a play out of their own playbook on how SZA released the deluxe to SOS. And this is the same way that Sir is releasing his deluxe to Heavy. And I mean, goddamn, they're stable, their roster. And even if you take Kendrick Lamar off their roster, like, I mean, they just got so many heavy hitters, and not just heavy with hits, heavy with substance, with content, with thought-provoking conversations, right? So I believe TDE is the one of one record label that, you know, is going to be hard to resemble in the future, and I don't think really nobody's done it before, right? Because just the quality that they have on their roster, and the variation, or the variety, I would say, that they have. So we got to continue to salute TDE, Top Dog, Punch. You know, we got to salute them all. And like I say, man, this is interesting, right? This is an interesting time in hip-hop. Kendrick's going on the tour. Nokia's climbing up the charts, and shit, I mean, if it go number one, it go number one, right? Like, I hope it go number one, because that's still gonna be a win for hip-hop, right? That's still gonna be a win for hip-hop if Nokia goes number one. But I mean, it's a good song, right? At this point, you can't deny it. I've heard it enough to where it's got in my head to where I like it. So I do like the song. I do like the video. I think he won on the lawsuit. I think he won by doing a video like this. But I don't think this is really like him trying to compete against Kendrick Lamar. I think it's just him saying, I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere. So unless you gonna have the consistency to keep going back and forth with me, my consistency, my persistence will outlast whatever impact you have with certain songs. So, you know what I'm saying? You can have one big punch, or you can have a million punches. It depends on which one is more effective, right? So, they say a knockout sometimes is better than like getting beat on by multiple punches and not like getting knocked out. So you got to put that in perspective. Kendrick knocked Drake out, but Drake is fighting with multiple punches. And so we got to see what type of damage that does in the long run for Kendrick Lamar. Right? But I think he can overcome. But if he doesn't, I still overcome, because it's your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your nephew, your friend, but I can't be your son. It's your kinfolk, William Jewell. Giving you my detail as I articulate. This is articulating rap, rap, rap.